Good morning. I would like to thank Achen and Sunday School for giving me this opportunity to come before you guys and speak for you today. Let me go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for all the blessings you've given us and all the blessings you've showered on us thus far. Thank you for continually providing for us and for protecting us. And thank you for being with us this week and all these kids and their families as they've come and gone to church for VBS, and thank you for keeping them safe. Help us to go out into the world and to be an example for others. And I pray that you be with me today as I speak from your word. Allow me not to only speak by the words of my mouth, but by the Holy Spirit that guides my heart. Be with us for the rest of the day and as we go out into the world, and keep us safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to thank Sunday School, especially Biju Uncle and China Chachin, for giving me this opportunity to come back again and speak before you guys. As today we're celebrating the final day program for VBS. As you guys know, the church has carried out VBS over the last week, and it was very, very good to see all the children and the parents come out. What was even better was all the volunteers and everybody who came out to help every day. And it was great to see everybody come together during a time of fellowship for the week and just able to do good things for the children and for the church. This year was very enjoyable. I think it was a little different compared to years past, but we made it work. We had a few hiccups along the way, but everything turned out pretty good. It's important in my eyes that we recognize change of this year, not only of the classes and the schedule that we now follow, but also by our roles as leaders, especially as young adults in the church. This year, we were in charge of leading crafts, leading games, making sure that the kids were going into the right areas and cleaning up, keeping everything organized. And it was a very eye-opening experience. I'm glad that we were given the opportunity as young adults, as youth of this church, to lead. And I can say now, a week later, that it was a very humbling experience. And you don't realize the time and the energy it takes to run an event of this size until you're part of something like that. So I want to say thank you to everybody who came during the week when you had time, and thank you for making time for the church. Even so, this VBS was in particular very special. For the first time this year, we had a fairly large group of preschool students that came for the first time ever for their VBS. With that, we also had a group of new parents, several new parents actually, who were bringing their children to church in the summertime for the very first time. I know that you guys were busy with your schedules and work and everything, and I want to thank you for taking the time and being persistent and making the effort to bring your children to church, where it all starts, where they can learn about Jesus' life and the events of his life. You know, it's that persistence of bringing your children to these events that gets the growth going and gets the growth started. So I want to thank you for that. The topic that the church has asked us to meditate on today is the people of God and ministry and model. The gospel portion that we heard was from Matthew 28. 16 to 20. I'm going to go ahead and read it. That's Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you until the very end of the age." So in the Bible, these portion of verses come from the Gospel of Matthew, and it's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission is the period of time after Jesus was crucified and after the resurrection, where he met with the disciples and he told them, gave them very specific instructions on what they were to do before his ascension into heaven. I think it's very fitting that the church chose to meditate on this event in the Great Commission on Sunday today. During VBS, throughout the week, we started on Monday talking about the Passion Week, and talking about Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. And throughout the week, we highlighted every event of the Passion Week up until his crucifixion and his resurrection. This takes place about 40 to 50 days after that, and it is before he ascends into heaven. Commission in this instance, meaning a command, This command is given directly by Jesus himself to the disciples. And the Bible is very clear on what is happening here. To set the scene, they are on a mountain in Galilee, and Jesus had appeared to them after he had risen from the dead. Still, some had doubted, but he told them that that was him and that they needed to believe. In this commission, Jesus directly said to his disciples what they were to do on earth after his ascension. He said three things of importance. The first thing, to make disciples of all nations. The second thing, to teach everything that he has commanded. And the third thing, about baptism, to baptize them. During this portion, we also see the use of the pronoun them. This is because Jesus is directly talking to the disciples. Them, in this case, are the non-believers, the people who they need to spread the word to. We understand the importance of this event now, living in the present, because the Great Commission is essentially a guide as to how we as Christians are expected to live our lives. So the first thing that I wanted to talk about was the concept of baptism. Still now in the world today, baptism is a central tenet of Christianity everywhere, all around the world. In our church today, baptism is a holy sacrament. Typically, we're baptized as children by our parents, where they renounce Satan for us and accept Jesus Christ for us. Until a time at our communion, we're able to say it by ourselves. That's what baptism is, and our church recognizes it. The next thing he asks, make disciples of all nations. And today, this looks a little different than how it may have intended to be. This doesn't mean you have to go out into the world and walk around with the Bible and work to try to convert people. That's not what making disciples is necessarily called to be. It can be anything in the world, including mission trips and being able to raise money, donating to communities in need. Anything that a church can do to support a community in need is able to make disciples out of those nations of people. He also says to teach them everything that I have commanded you. God's commandments are things like loving one another, not being boastful, controlling your pride, being thankful, showing understanding and being thoughtful. These are all things which allow you to show God's love to other people in your life. And with these instructions given by Christ himself, we now have a model. So, like I said, the theme for today is people of God, model, and ministry. This is the model that we need to base our ministry upon. And now we have to figure out how we're supposed to deliver it. I want you guys to turn with me to Titus chapter 2, which was the epistle reading for today. I'm going to read Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 11, okay? Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love and endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God and our Savior attractive. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all. Okay. So this instruction is written from Paul to Titus. And at this time, he goes into detail about specific responsibilities of members of the church, how husbands should be with their wives, how wives should submit to their husbands. And he even goes on to explain the relationship between servants, slaves, and masters. And although his instruction here is specific and it may not be able to easily be applied to many situations, he's basically telling us that these are the things, these are the principles of strong church leadership that he's looking for. He's looking for people with a high level of self-control, people with high moral obligation, people that are ready to take charge. And not only is he saying that we should look up to those people, he's saying we should be like those people. He's making us to be strong leaders like that of the church. Both this passage from Titus and the Great Commission passage, they detail the Christian's responsibility in the world. The Great Commission is more of a large world, how you're to interact with others as you meet them, whereas this is more of a within your own community, how can you yourself work to spread the gospel in an efficient and effective way. Through both of these passages, however, there is a goal. Jesus, while on earth, commissioned his people to go out into the world, and they accepted their responsibility with every single repercussion that came along with it. Whether in the time of Jesus this was death, humiliation, rejection, embarrassment, they were the minority group at that time, and they were considered to be heretics. No one would take their word seriously. So what was the point of them accepting this calling and going out into the world? And how does it eventually all come together with the lessons from the VBS stories that we've learned? Well, in Titus chapter 2, he tells us why in verse 11. He says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. So we're introduced to this concept of salvation now. Salvation meaning you are able to be saved from something. You can save yourself from something that is yet to come. During VBS, however, we had to explain this concept of salvation while teaching a song. Through one of the actions, we had to represent our freedom from sin being broken through Jesus. Jesus is able to break the chains of sin. And in this moment, I had to explain to a group of children in about 10 to 15 seconds what salvation was. And it was hard to formulate a thought, but what I ended up saying was something along the lines of, through Christ only, you can be freed from the chains of sin, which isn't wrong. So although I wasn't wrong, there is a little bit more to it that I want to cover. We need to look back at the lessons we learned from the weeks of VBS. When we started on Monday, the first story we were introduced to was Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. As this great king, he did have the ability to come in wearing a robe of gold or maybe on the back of a horse or something like that. But he showed humility, he showed his humbleness before his disciples, before all of his supporters, before all the people lined up before him. And he showed that he was humble. And on the first day when he came into Jerusalem, that was the point that we wanted to take out of the first day. The second day was detailing Jesus' Passover. And from this, we know that Jesus is a loving Savior because of him sharing him with his disciples and wanting to have that communion extended to everyone. The third day, we highlighted the conviction and trial of Jesus and Jesus being arrested. From this story, we pulled out that Jesus is a loving Savior, and that nothing will be ever able to separate us from the love of God, no matter what. From this story, we also see that Jesus was hopeful, because as he was arrested and taken and beaten, he didn't free himself from that. He stayed complacent, he stayed quiet, and he just dealt with it himself. The fourth day was Jesus' crucifixion on the cross, and from this we can see Jesus' sacrifice. Finally, on the fifth day, we see Jesus' resurrection. From this, we see that through his life, we can attain salvation. This here alone is the reason why the disciples found confidence to go out into the world following the Great Commission. They looked to Jesus as exactly what he was. He was a humble man. He shared in his love with others. He sacrificed his life for us. And through him only, we can attain salvation. And now, yes, the stories were pretty baseline and simple to explain to the kids, but I'm glad that the children were able to come and actually get to experience a Sunday school or a VBS class like that, because these are the stories that are able to build bases and in their life when they're ready and when they're able to understand, they can go off of the base that they've established here. Titus makes it very clear to us that salvation in God is made available to all. I read it twice, but he says the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all. This is the key for us. What this means is that we are God's commission. We are the Great Commission. We are God's great commandment, and we have to travel down the avenues of life to spread this love of salvation. There are others there in the world who do not believe. There are others who are lost. And as believers, as those who are grounded in faith, it's not only our job, it's our duty to spread that gift of salvation to everyone. I'm grateful for this church, and I'm grateful for avenues like VBS and Sunday School to teach children about the life and the sacrifices and the history of Jesus Christ, because then they'll be able to understand why it is we as Christians do the things that we do in the world, why it is that we as Christians do the things that we do in church. Before I end, before I conclude, I want to address three different groups of people. So the first group that I want to talk to is the children. I pray that God fills each of you with the wisdom and understanding to learn his word so that you may learn about Jesus and why he was special. I pray that you learn what his goal was on earth, and I pray that you learn why you call yourselves Christians, not just to call yourselves Christians, but to understand why it is that you do it. I pray that you go out into the world and interact with every single person in a way of love, in a way of understanding. Know that as you are in sin, the salvation that Jesus gave to us was made for us, and that above all, you must do good for the gospel. Next, I want to address the parents sitting in here. All parents in here are in various walks of life. Some have just become parents, some have been parents for a while, and some are even grandparents. You've learned to deal and adapt with change all throughout your life. And nonetheless, you've stayed grounded in faith. I challenge you to show God's love to your children so that they may do the same for others and to copy your actions. You are responsible for the spiritual upbringing of your children, and you must shelter them from the evils of this world. I pray that you go out into this world spreading nothing but love so that your children will become commissioners for Christ themselves. Finally, I want to talk to the youth and the young adults in this room. We are coming of age during a very polarized time in our world. Differences among us oftentimes create division, and it would not be an exaggeration to say that pride controls us nearly all the time. I pray that as we sit and stare into the future, we don't look with uncertainty and fear and anxiety, but we instead, we set our mindset on the bigger ideal, on the one thing that matters, and we realize that we have been called to do something bigger in this life. I pray that as we take on the mantle of leadership throughout our lives, that we make sure that we're leading for the right ways, that we make sure that we're not doing it for personal gain or personal favor, that we're doing it for the upliftment, for the fulfillment of his kingdom. I pray that we can form a commission of leadership and love and do that of what Paul described within our own church community. These lessons that came from the Bible stories are very important. They're lessons that will stay with us forever. And I really do wish and hope that the children that came for the VBS last week did remember some of the stuff that they read about and took away some valuable lessons, because personally, from my experience as a kid in VBS, those same stories never go away. And in fact, when you get older, you just end up building off of them. I really do love this church, and I'm grateful for all of the different avenues of being able to serve. And I'm hopeful that in the future I'll continue to serve this church.